it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We started the show off with the understanding that President Trump announced that he will posthumously be awarding Charlie Kirk the Medal of Freedom. Quite an honor, of course, and so tragic that it has to happen in this regard. Let's get to our guest. Hans von Spakovsky joins us, as he does each Thursday, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, a former FEC commissioner and DOJ lawyer. Hans, I want to give you the opportunity to, I mean, this is a very heavy lift for Americans today on September 11th to pair it with the tragic loss of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. What are your thoughts on September 11th, 2025?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, with Charlie Kirk, I find it quite revealing that as someone who spent his entire career emphasizing the importance of civil discourse, civil debate in our country over important issues is the person that has been felled by a cowardly assassin. And I've been on X. I have seen that there are people on the left who are celebrating this. And it's really, frankly, disgusting that individuals like that exist in our country. And, you know, a lot of people complain about social media, but I'll tell you, one of the things about it is it reveals just how horrible too many people in this country are. But the fact that he was killed, he was murdered, brutally murdered, when he's the person who's been pushing civil discourse tells you a lot, frankly, about, unfortunately, about his opponents. And this is kind of related to 9/11, too, is that, just like a lot of other people, I am just shaking my head at people like Barack Obama and others saying, well, they just don't know what has caused or generated anything like that. How long have they been saying that Donald Trump, that conservatives, that anyone who supports Donald Trump, I mean, Donald Trump is Hitler, he's Mussolini. Mm-hmm. Anyone supports him is a fascist, a Nazi. That is the kind of language that triggers people to say, oh, my goodness, that's such a serious threat that violence is required. And yeah, they may not have pulled the trigger. They may not have put the gun in that person's hands. But it's that kind of, frankly, violent language, vile language that causes people who perhaps are on the edge to think that violence is okay. My gosh, if this is the next Hitler, then obviously he should be taken out. I mean, that's the kind of thing we hear all the time, even on the floors of Congress.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess we kind of all feel like we're playing a little bit of roulette with discourse in our country. I mean, we're really testing the limits of the First Amendment, and we do have a First Amendment, and it does not protect anybody from speech that they dislike. But there's just kind of a rot in our culture, especially our political culture right now. You know, I was thinking yesterday when we were listening to this, somebody on the news is, you know, it's a very difficult thing to cover something like this live. And we went straight to Fox News coverage because they were going to have the news before we were. And as the Fox News radio affiliate here in St. Louis, we wanted to be there and to provide that for our listeners. But it was interesting to me. At one point, I even repeated it out loud that they said something about this looks like it could be domestic terrorism. And I said out loud, like the Catholics. You know, when we think about the previous administration and how we would throw these words around and how the Catholics were being labeled domestic terrorists, mostly in connection with their efforts to be you know, publicly pro-life. How do you, I mean, you're a DOJ lawyer. You know that these words, domestic terrorism, mean something. We got to steady the ship and get some common sense back into our system.
Right. And or think about the fact that the Attorney General of the United States formed a task force at the Justice Department to do what? Investigate parents who showed up at school board meetings to complain about the transgender propaganda being fed to their kids, and he forms a task force because this may be domestic terrorism. That shows how far, unfortunately, the left has gone. And by the way, and this is also related to 9/11. Look, the mindset of the what we've seen, thousands of protesters in places like New York City, at Columbia University, engaging in violent.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protests. What have they been there doing and saying? That they support what? Hamas, a brutal terrorist organization that has raped, killed, tortured literally thousands of people, and yet we have thousands of their supporters protesting in New York, invading Columbia's campus. These protesters, these so-called Americans, they have exactly the same mindset, exactly the same as the radical jihadists who crashed the planes into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., which is only a couple of miles from where I work.
Hans, before we let you go, I want to ask you if you have any advice or thoughts or even reflection. I've heard people say that that we're alive when MLK got shot, that there is a sentiment, there's kind of a rush of reflection that felt like that. Now, I wasn't alive for that, but I know he was transformative and obviously the leader of the civil rights movement in our country. I do feel like Charlie Kirk was a human rights activist in our country. I feel very connected to that. I know a lot of people who are younger than me. I don't like being the older person in this equation at this point, but I am. I'm 10 years older than he is. I know a lot of younger people who saw him and were moved by him. Do you have advice for our country to get ourselves back to a place where we can, in a very patriotic way, vehemently agree to disagree without this type of violence entering the conversation?
I would say he really aimed what he did at young people. And the biggest message he gave was to tell them to not be afraid to speak up and voice their opinions. And I would say, particularly to college students all over, look, we've just seen polling, as you know, showing that over 80% are afraid to voice their opinions in class and on campus. And I would say to all of them, do not be afraid. Start speaking up, because there is strength in numbers. And the more of you that speak up against bad professors, against others who want to try to harass, intimidate you on campus, the faster we can stop that from happening.
Is there a Justice Department element that needs to be implemented to help us get to that place?
Yes, the Justice Department is doing it by going after those universities who have been violating the civil rights of their students. For example, places like Columbia and Harvard that allowed anti-Semitism not only to fester on campus, but actually supported it.
Yeah, it seems like these campuses are the root. Hans,
yes.
Thank you for being with us on this day. It's a tough day, and we're really grateful for your company.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation and a former FEC commissioner as well. I think 9/11 is a heavy lift for Americans. And I don't know if you've experienced this yourself. But there's an isolating part of remembering September 11th with the understanding that next year will be 25 years since it happened. There are grown voting adults who only know about this from learning about it. There's an element of perspective that exists that makes me feel even more like I want to remember it harder. Does that make sense? Like you remember what it was like. You remember the temperature of the day. You remember the blue color of the sky. The little idiosyncrasies that came in a day where it seemed like everything screeched to a halt because you didn't know what happened next. September 12th was a day that was filled with looking at your neighbor to your left physically and to your right physically and saying, I think we're all in this together. I don't know that we have a choice. And I think that we as a country have asked ourselves in the last 10, 15 years, if something, God forbid, happened like that again, would we be willing to look at our neighbors to the left and the right and say, I think we have to be together on this. I don't think we have a choice. And I don't know the answer to that question. But I am imploring you not to look outward, not to be reactionary to the noise that's coming into you, to the things that are piercing your timelines, your comment feeds. I want you to understand, I want you to empower yourself to know that you do have a choice in what you choose to consume, what you choose to engage with. Maybe it's the right thing to do to engage. But if you could use that moment where you engage, or maybe even one step further, take the bait, could you be using that time and that energy for a purpose that amplifies something positive? Right now, I'm talking about right now, because I think we're all waking up today going, what do we do? Choose to spend your energy the way you want to spend it. Don't give it over to other people. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.